Dr. Homebrew is brought to you by Five Star Chemicals, providing safety and cleaning supplies for brewing, distilling, and winemaking at fivestarchemicals.com.
Doctor, look!
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
Welcome to the show. This is Dr. Homebrew for July. We're sitting here. We have a ton of beer to get through. And the caveat here is that there's no homebrew at all. There's no homebrew to be found, to be seen, to be drunken in on this show at all. Because these two shows are Keith, Kyle, Steve, George's last two appearances on Dr. Homebrew for the foreseeable future. And we might bring him in every now and then, because homie's moving to Oklahoma.
Somebody said Idaho today, so I've now learned that moving to Idaho, Oklahoma.
Hold on. Why you have like killer deep space reverb echo? Right now.
I brought my reverb box with me.
Yeah. Wow.
How come every time
Let me switch mics.
How come every time I come into the fucking studio there's something changed? I hate the studio.
Wow, I could hear that echo.
Let me switch mics. All right, try that.
There you go.
Is that better?
Oh, that's so much better. Hi. Welcome to Coffee Talk.
Can I use the other one occasionally when I want that reverb effect?
Yeah. Oh. Try go ahead and talk in that.
This one or the other one?
Oh.
I hear reverb.
Figured
there.
It out.
Maybe I'll use reverb on opening balls.
Well, here's what we're doing. We're going to Keith's cellar. We're going live to Keith's cellar. Keith, do me a favor. Are you? Can you hear me?
Patch us in from the cellar.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Well, do me a favor. Open the door and start walking deep into your cellar and pull out some gems for us, please. All right. Keith, can you hear me? Are you there yet?
I can hear you.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yes. Special sound effects on Dr. Homebrew.
Okay, good. What do you have for us to drink? Well, here, just pull it out, actually. Just come back, because it's getting old now. Okay. All right. Welcome back from your cellar, Keith.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm glad you came out of the closet. Cellar.
It's a big cellar.
Jesus Christ. I'm going to shoot myself in the head. So it's Keith's last two shows here, and you're moving.
I am moving. That is correct.
You don't want to move.
Not to Idaho, not to Oklahoma. I am moving to Ohio.
Is it really? Is there a difference? You're gonna pick nits on what state you're moving to?
Yeah, I think there's a difference.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like touring bands don't go to Idaho.
Yeah, well,
maybe they built a spill or whatever. But yeah, there's not a lot of action going on in Idaho. In Oklahoma, I don't really think many people go there. I mean, I guess the Flaming Lips were from Oklahoma, is that right, if I remember correctly?
Is it? Yeah, I think so.
Norman, Oklahoma. I thought they're from Norman. Or at least they were hanging out there for a while. But it's a college. It's a college town, Norman, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm moving to Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, Ohio. All right, what's going to be your new address? Let's give it out right now.
2206. I don't know. I actually don't know the address right now.
All right, well, hey, man, look, sad to see you go. But we're going to love watching leave, because we're going to look at your ass. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
No, we have a bunch of beer. So what we're doing today for the show is we're basically doing commercial calibration of two beers, sort of. And then we're going to Brian's going to wax poetic about off flavors again. So that'll be a fun, interesting, entertaining and educational show. And then on our next show, we're just going to go through commercial beers that we have, some cool stuff. I have a bottle of Dark Lord here. Got some Ode Goose Boone Black Label, which apparently you can. Our friend UK Phil brought that over from Belgium. That's not like something Monument or whatever. And we have a bunch of other stuff to drink too. And so, how it's going to work with our commercial calibrations is Really, we're just going to drink them, and we're going to go through the order of the score sheet, but, you know, the guys aren't going to fill out the score sheet, because these are, like, the smoked porter we're opening right now is Alaskan smoked porter. We have two vintages from 2014 and 2015.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're hard to find. It's going to be a lot of work. And really, this is a fun show because we're breaking out some cool stuff because Keith's last show. So, you know, we're just going to have a lot of fun. We're going to go through and explain with these two beers specifically how they've changed. We also have, what is that, Brian, that you're pouring right now?
It's the Founder's Backwoods Bastard.
No, not it's craft beer. Let's just get that out of the way now. I apologize.
It's a bourbon barrel aged, wee heavy, a Scottish. Scottish ale. So
okay. Yeah. So this is a going away party as educational as we can make it. So
I'm really excited for it.
It's a little cold too.
This show is brought to you, of course, by Five Star. You can go to fivestarchemicals.com and learn about everything you need to do to continue to make great beer, or to make better beer, I should say, if you're not using Five Star already. The gals from Five Star were at NHC. Hung out with them for a bit at BNA 13. They're nice people. They're good. They do a good job, and they'll do a good job for you if you're not using them already. And if you are, please continue to do so. And if you're not, ask your local homebrew shop to carry it, because everybody needs to know. Five Star Chemicals. It's the way to go, man.
We like them.
It is, definitely. I, by the way, I have some PBW I need to sell. Anybody looking for some PBW? I have a big bucket.
You don't haul PBW to Kentucky or wherever you're going? I still literally don't know where you're moving. You've told me. I can't remember because I'm thinking of Oklahoma or Kentucky.
He's a true West Coaster. Like anything east of like
Sacramento
is like unknown territory. You're from out east, huh?
Yeah. Like, do I have to drive through Galt to get there? No. I have no idea. Reno? Never heard of it. Yeah. Reno might as well be New York City.
Very similar.
Yeah. What's going on, Bev? Bev looks very exasperated. How can you hear me, by the way?
I have the headphones are turned up really loud.
You don't want to ruin your hair.
Yeah, because it looks real good right now.
Studio hair, don't care.
Crazy witch hair, don't care.
Yeah, that's true.
Brian's camera is on, but I have no signal from it, and it's making me angry.
That's too bad.
Okay.
All right, well, sorry. It's Brian's too handsome today. Brian's looking too good.
He broke my camera with his hands.
Okay, so hey, let's talk about this beer, this Founder's beer, and go through the Alaskan Smoke Porters, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll go through some off flavors. Brian, is that right? Sound good to you?
I think we'll figure that out.
All right. Well, why don't you go ahead and start since it looks like you're ready?
No.
No? Keith, why don't you go ahead and start since it looks like Brian's not ready?
I am as about ready as he is, but anyway, I would enter this beer as a 33... B.
Oh, that's my problem. I'm on the 08 guidelines. I switched.
So it's especially wood aged beers, and I don't know if you remember this, but it seems like every show or every other show we get especially wood aged beer.
Yeah,
but usually they don't declare it and they name it like, "Hey, this is Russian Imperial Stout." There's obviously some sort of wood aging going on right
this
there.
This is a 2017 release, by the way, of the Founder's Backwoods Bastard, which the label kind of looks like worn in about 50 years.
It does.
So there's that. Ale aged in oak bourbon barrels. All right.
Okay. So, I'm going to do this off the cuff. We didn't write the notes down, and we'll...
That's fine. I've always liked that way to do these, because it's a little more conversational, and I think it's a little more interesting to do it on the fly. But.
Yeah, and this is a fun one to do, too, because it's kind of a combo of styles. So, we're talking about a wee heavy, which is a really malty beer, usually really sweet, a lot of caramel in the nose. And this, you're getting a lot of that... whiskey character, a lot of wood on the nose, a lot of alcohol too. pretty strong alcohol punch there in the nose. Otherwise, you know, fairly clean. Maybe getting a little bit of oxidation. It's not a ton. Just getting a little bit of cardboard there. No hops, and the sweetness doesn't really jump out there. I think that it's really being kind of overpowered there somewhat by the barrel aged character. Appearance wise, it's pretty clear, pretty dark. We're looking at like a medium deep brown, tannish head. Does stick around. It's kind of impressive with all the alcohol here, but there is some head still there, and has to see some legs as well with this beer.
How much does alcohol actually kill head? I mean, is it a big factor in it? By the way, I took a sip of this 2 minutes ago, and I still feel my esophagus on fire.
I haven't taken a sip. Well, it is 11% alcohol. So
wow. It smells great.
I don't know, Brian, what do you think about alcohol killing head retention at all? It can, I guess. It doesn't necessarily. Look at a lot of Belgian beers. They have all, you know, it depends on what it's made from as well. Like, you know, how much protein's in the beer and stuff like that. So it's not necessarily going to kill it.
But it can contribute to not having.
It can contribute to a little bit of lack of head retention.
Okay.
I think aging, too, can, you know, just aging it out, some of the proteins might break down a little bit more and give you a little less than when you pour it fresh. When you think about, you know, I do a lot of Bigfoot barley wine verticals, and you'll pour the new ones, and, you know, the head is there because the hops are still kind of – hop compounds are still there. This one doesn't have the hops, of course, but and then, you know, the proteins are a little different, I think, and it forms a lot more of a head. It's lighter, and as it ages, it gets darker and almost sometimes kind of grayish looking or kind of weird colors and haze will form in it. So it changes a lot over time. And this one, I think, is a pretty fresh example of the Backwoods Bastard.
Yeah, I'm not sure what time of year it's released in. This is a 2017, so I'm not sure if that this is the latest or there's one that's actually come out after this.
I just got it a few months ago on Tavor, so it's pretty fresh.
Yeah, I imagine they'd probably do it. It's more of probably a winter beer.
They might bottle it at the end of 2017, But actually, I think it's year-round now, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was just looking...
Beginning April of 2018, they started
year-round. Year-round.
I don't drink a lot of Founders beers, so I... Being that I'll be moving to Michigan, I will be drinking a lot more of that.
Yeah, of course.
Well, hey, man. Wherever you want to move.
Tell us how Grand Rapids works out for you.
I didn't go there for the conference, by the way, but... Anyway, I was ready to read my sheet here. I get so accustomed to... looking at score sheets and reading some words and then not reading words, and I realized this is not the score sheet for this beer, so I was just going to reading random stuff that had nothing to do with this beer. No one would be able to tell the difference at all.
For sure,
it's got a nice light malt and a bright hop to it.
Yeah. Hop punch? So, as you mentioned, JP, there is a lot of alcohol here.
I didn't even take a sip yet.
And it's kind of sharp, actually, in the finish. Like, you know, like a lot of times, I would find a wee heavy to be a little bit sweeter and a little bit more caramel focused than this. And this is really heavy on the wood character and the barrel age character of it. I'm not getting a lot of. There's some sweetness there, definitely, but it's not as reminiscent of a wee heavy as I would think it would be. You could easily tell me this is a barley wine, and I would be like, yeah. Barley wine, I could see that.
Yeah, like a barrel aged barley wine.
Yeah,
For sure. And you know, we had on Monday's session the guy who won gold for barley wine and NHC, and it kind of tastes similar, where the body wasn't really there. I think it was kind of thin, and this kind of is thin on the end too, as thin as an 11%, you know, barrel aged beer can be.
I think that's fair. There's no hops again. I mean, wee heavy again is not a style where you're looking at any hop flavor or even aroma, and even the bitterness should be pretty dialed down. I think the sharpness here, I'm assuming, is more from the alcohol. I mean, there is a little bit of hop bitterness there too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even more than I would want to see in a wee heavy.
Oh, really? You think so?
I don't know. There's some. It could be astringency from the wood.
There seems to be something, that isn't letting the malt shine through as much. But yeah, I think it could be that, just the booziness.
Yeah, it's boozy.
There's a lot of booze.
So mouthfeel is just alcohol. And wee heavy as well is another fun thing about the style. A lot of times people make it with some roasted barley. I'm not getting really any roast in this beer either. I don't think you really want much in a wee heavy either.
Just an edge of that.
Yeah, maybe there's an edge, and that gives you a little bit of that astringency too, possibly a little bit more harder finish. carbonation's medium, low. It seems fine. I would not even see it as high as it is. I'd be kind of even dial back that a little bit if I were talking about a homebrew right now. For a barrel-aged beer... I might actually say for a contestant, like, maybe think about aging it a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. Let the warming, like the booze, smooth out a little bit.
Yeah.
And for a commercial beer like this, you know, it's a great beer to age and leave it in your basement or in my cellar where I just was
for, you know, another 5 years, you know, something like that, and try it out. And that's what's great. Like, Brian, was this a 6-pack, a 4-pack, or what does it come in?
I just got a couple single bottles, but yeah, you can get, I think they have 6-packs of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that's kind of fun to play with.
Looks like a 4-pack on there.
Yeah, you drink one maybe somewhat fresh and then save another one for every year.
Yeah, make notes.
We're getting vintages and then try them side by side, which Brian and I both like to do that a lot.
It looks like their suggested storage mechanism is to like pound an axe into the side of a tree and set the 4-pack on top of that.
I do that a lot too.
And set one bottle aside. You know,
That's wood aged, right?
So in the sunlight, of course. Well, there's no hops, so that won't hurt it.
No one liked my joke.
I like it where it is right now, but I would probably be like, hey, dial back the, you know, like either, you know, find a way to dial back the alcohol, make it a little bit smaller beer. But I think more likely age is what's going to make this beer taste really great. Even like a wee heavy, some of that more oxidation, getting some of those sherry notes, I think go really well with this style and also with the bourbon. And it's going to, you know, not be as hot after a period of time. But I think right now I'd give it somewhere probably in the mid-30s, let's say 35, something like that.
Okay.
That's what I'd be looking at.
Yeah, I would definitely age this. I would not pull this. Like, if you have this in your fridge, don't drink it right now.
Yeah, I've got another one I'll have to hold on to.
Yeah, don't drink it.
Drink that tonight.
Road soda.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what Keith said, too. There's just a lot of, in the nose, I'm getting a lot of vanilla and bourbon and oak. And, like, the style is kind of underlying in the aroma. It's not really prominent, like, what style it is. It's just kind of hiding behind some of that other stuff, and it's you can tell it's a malty beer, and there's a lot of alcohol to it, but it's not telling you, hey, I'm a wee heavy, you know, so well in the nose. When you get in the flavor, it's a little different, but yeah, it's kind of a nice, yeah, like you said, a nice color, just kind of a really deep copper, almost light brown and very clear. So it's pretty, has a decent lasting head. I think for the, you know, it's still easily aroused, despite like fairly low carbonation in it.
Nice.
And yeah, just in the flavor. Yeah. I took a long time before I got to taking a sip. Cause I was actually kind of enjoying the aroma and all the boozy stuff and kind of trying to get at everything in there.
I think it definitely smells better than it tastes.
Yeah.
It smells more together than it tastes. I shouldn't say it doesn't taste bad.
In the flavor, yeah, it's the alcohol and the booze just comes right out first in this one. And aged, it's probably going to be a little better. So, but they do age it for a year in the bourbon barrels. You know, I find that it's somewhat caramelly. It does present the style a little bit more in there in the middle of the flavor, just kind of on the tongue. You get a little bit of coating, a little bit of caramel coming through after the initial alcohol bite kind of fades. But yeah, it's definitely, to me, not quite as, it's not really a sweet malty beer. It's kind of a dry and tannic malty beer that's, you know, just covered up by the booziness. So yeah, I'm getting in the mouthfeel, I'm also getting some astringency just from the tannins, from the wood. It's a little bit biting, not just from the alcohol, but there's some astringency there that's pulling away from it for me a little bit. It's not as smooth as hoped. It's not creamy at all. And again, carbonation kind of medium low, full bodied, and a huge warmth. It just coats all the way down, and it's just, oh my God, lasts forever. So, and you know, that alcohol is not going to go away. It might smooth out a little bit over time and be a little more, you know, melded kind of flavors, and the mouthfeel will be a little smoother as time goes along, I think. So,
and more elegant, I would
hold on to this.
That was the word elegant I would use. You
know. Yes. Yeah, so I kind of agree with that placement. You know, mid to upper 30s, kind of 37, something like that. It's a well crafted beer and a well aged beer, but it's I don't know if it's changed over the years too with the changes there. I suppose they would swear up and down it has not, but I can't say that I've tasted it, you know, consistently year after year. I might have tried it one other time or something. I don't really recall too much about what it was back.
What would you want to see different about this?
I think for me, the more sweetness. Now, you do mention I do get some of the caramel when I'm tasting it, but I think the more sweetness just in general would help balance that alcohol tannin, you know, the tannins from the wood, the alcohol. I think just having more of that sweeter character. If I was a homebrew, I'd be like, don't make this as dry as it is. You know, I like wee heavies. Like, some of them are crazy, like, with the amount of sweetness, and they're a little over the top where they're, like, cloying, and this is easier to drink. You could see why a brewery would want to make, hey, let's make it. Let's tone down that cloying sweetness a little bit so people want to drink a little more of it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like the true wee heavies. And I enjoy those beers, but of course I enjoy them at maybe like a 6 or 7 ounces at a time, yeah. sort of thing.
Sure,
and, not 40 of one.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
right. And it's kind of crazy that Founders is releasing this year round. It's a year round beer.
Yeah.
Who wants this in June?
No. Yeah, that doesn't seem right. I mean, I guess it's just
in San Francisco. It's pretty. I left there today. It was 59 degrees. Got over here and it was 88. So in San Francisco, it was perfect for it. This would have been good.
That's true.
Not in Concord, man.
No.
Yeah,
not,
so definitely a little sweetness. For me, if I was brewing it for myself,
yes.
I would pull the booze back and the wood because it's too much. It's just all those tannins and the booze. I like the style to come through in tandem with the booze and the wood and not have it be just so one-sided like this is.
Do you think this is a beer that they intentionally make or let me rephrase, is this a flavor profile that you would intentionally hit to age a beer to maybe drink in 3 years?
Yeah.
Maybe it's not meant to be drunken now. Maybe it's meant to age, and that's why it's kind of big in places. Or is it too jagged to really age out and mellow properly?
With a beer like this, though, people get it. And, you know,
yeah, they want to drink
people
it.
Get it. They just want to drink it now.
No, like, I mean, if it's a year-round release, then that has to be something that,
right.
that they're drinking all the time. And there are people out there who actually like whiskey and, you know, like...
Who are those people like?
Yeah. I don't know.
No, this would be a good beer for a booze appreciator that doesn't really care for beer. This would be a good entry-level beer for them.
I mean, there's also the opportunity.
That's
like,
true.
Hey, you're sitting outside around a campfire, even if it's the summer. It's still kind of a cool thing to have. Hey, I'm having a wood-aged beer or something like that. Like, you know, I don't know.
And the name's cool. The label's cool. There's this old coot on there with an axe behind him. And
I disagree with that, but you know.
You know.
It's not cool at all?
Well, it stands out. It's not...
But
it's
also...
Not,
you know, it's... It's if it's Backwoods Bastard, they're saying that first of all, it's somebody who, you know, like they're making fun of people from like West Virginia.
Where I'm moving to West
Virginia
now.
I'm moving to West Virginia.
There you go.
It's like, you know, they're saying this person's a bastard. You know, whatever. You know, like his, you know, his dad wasn't there, and you know, all that sort of stuff. And maybe that's why he's drinking in the first place. I don't know.
Keith standing up for the
it's
fictional
okay if
person.
You're in, you know, like. If you grew up in small town Minnesota, say, you can get away with that kind of humor.
Or your parents weren't married, and it's fine.
Yeah, sure.
You have an axe. Who cares? Who cares what people think? Then you better not hear it. What are the other beers we're going to drink on this segment here, boys?
Well, which one should we open first here? We've got the Alaskan Smoked Porter.
I would do the 15 just because
it's fresher. Let's open the 15.
And then let's do the 14, you know, after.
As an aside.
Yeah, not as detailed, you know, but we do want to make sure we talk about how the flavors change between the two, but we should have some sort of baseline first, and then you know, go through that.
I have a 17 at home as well, but I can only carry so many beers in my bag.
I think 15 is a good place to start with this.
Yeah, every time I've had it, it's been younger. If you want it's been like, wow, it's a little too rough.
While Brian's pouring that, I want to let you guys know that More Beers teamed up with the great John Palmer to make 27 beer kits based on the recipes found in brewing classic styles written by Palmer and Jamil. These kits are true to style and are all within BJCP guidelines, enabling them to be easily entered into that upcoming competition. Buy two kits and get fast, free shipping from More Beer.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, Brian, you look ready.
Yeah.
Why don't you start us off, man?
Yeah, this is a... this would be a... classic style smoked beer, 32A. And what you want to look in here is a pleasant balance between the expected aroma of the base style and the smokiness imparted by the use of the smoked malts. So... I find in the nose that the smokiness is pretty pleasant, and it's not overwhelming. It's not smacking you upside of the face. You can get to a light kind of coffee like underneath that, and some, you know, it's not super roasty, but it has almost an impression of being a little roasty from the smoke combined with the dark malts in here. But there's some chocolate undertones. There's not any real hop in here. It's just kind of smooth and lightly smoky and dark malt character in there. So seems like it's pretty well cared for. I'm not getting any oxidation. Seems nice and
I usually you just sleep with it in my bed. I put it underneath my pillow for a couple of years.
Nice.
appearance-wise, it's pretty dark brown. You can barely see through it. It's almost opaque. But at the corners, you can see that it's pretty clear. It's a fairly dark brown. Actually, look at the top, and you can kind of see through it a little better. These little short glasses, when I look up through it, yeah, you can kind of – it's very clear. So the head started, you know, kind of medium-low and faded pretty quick to kind of a ringer on the glass. So, yeah, it's not super – not a super big head on that beer. Flavor-wise, okay, yeah, the smoke is pretty mellow in this. It's nice. It's not like a real ashy smoke. It's just kind of like a distant campfire kind of background, you know. It's not, like, overwhelming at all. And the malt has a little bit of sweetness in the background. It's not super dry, but it's just dry enough that it works, I think, as a porter. So, yeah. It's, you know, the alcohol is there, but it's not biting you in the face either. It's pretty smooth. I like it. Mouthfeel-wise, it's kind of, I would say, medium full-bodied. It's not like a barley wine kind of body to it. But there's definitely some just real smooth warmth. It doesn't coat and go all the way down the back of the throat like the Backwoods Bastard does. It does have a little bit of creaminess. I'd say there's two. There's a little bit of astringency from the smoke phenolics that are in there, kind of a little bit of a bitingness, but not from a malt perspective, I don't think. But overall, I really like it. I think this is a good place to start with the age on these. You know, if you drink them too fresh, it's going to be a lot more in your face. So, yeah, score-wise, I think I'd probably go 39. It doesn't need too much more to be done with it. You get the style and you get the smoke, and it's a nice balance. The character of the smoke is nice. It's not ashy. It's just kind of a smooth, pleasant, rounded smoke.
That's true.
And a sharp, biting one. And I think maybe some of the darkest malts in this have probably faded a little bit, and it's not super sweet. So there's something, you know, like I said about the body, it's not very full-bodied. It almost feels just like it's starting to thin out a little bit. And I'd be real curious to taste the 14 next to this and see where it goes from there. I think it's going to continue to thin out. So this beer probably does kind of peak. Although, you can taste really old examples, and it's going to be a different animal, but, yeah.
Well, yeah, well, where this is gonna hey, go. While Keith runs down what he thinks about it, why don't you crack open that 14, Brian? Give us a little...
Alrighty.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like step-by-step here. I mean, I'm thinking of a lot of the same things with the aroma, like definitely getting the smoke, and I don't think it's opaque. You can actually see, it's pretty easy to see through it.
Yeah.
But I was really, I think the thing that you were touching on, yeah, that I forgot this was only a 6.5% alcohol beer. I thought it was bigger, and I definitely, it felt like it was getting thinner. It's thinner now, like, and I'm really interested in what this one's like, because I'm like, wow, this feels a little thin to me. And, you know, I was really expecting a little more sweetness, a little more body overall, and it just doesn't really have that. It was, like, definitely losing some of that. And I think it's really at its probably peak, if not even, probably past its peak, yeah. And I was getting the same thing JP was there, and when listening to this beer, it's really loud, but maybe that's coming from the bar and not from here.
It's super loud, yeah.
Doesn't have very much reverb on it, though.
I think
I thought it was a little stronger, too, though.
Six and a half. That surprises me. I assumed 8. I don't know why.
Yeah, no, me too. And then and if you look at it that way, I mean, it was getting a little bit of oxidation, a little bit papery character from it. But more than anything else, that sort of that dryness where I don't remember that being like when I had this really fresh before, it's always been really, really harsh. Where it's almost like, you know, it's like astringent and it's kind of like cinder. I don't know. It's
just not
a good flavor. And you're like, but this is nice. I'm almost thinking, I'm not drinking the second one yet, but I'm thinking that this one, the first one is really at its, you know, if it's a little bit past its peak. So what was it, a 2015? So maybe, you know, like 3 years is kind of right around the longest you want to wait on something like this, because it's not a huge beer.
I agree, the
smoke does preserve it somewhat. But it is starting, you can tell it's starting to fade. So what's the 2014 one like?
I smell, well, first of all, it's not as opaque. It's a little bit darker, it looks like. But maybe it's just there's a little bit different levels in my glass. But I get a metallic, like a blood thing in the aroma.
In the 14 one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, we're talking real fast about years and how long it ages. I know it's a less alcohol, low alcohol beer, but for me, when we were talking about on the Bigfoot show, when we did the Bigfoot vertical, 15 was my favorite year of Bigfoot. I think 3 years is perfect for that beer, and that's what 11 or 12 or 10 maybe. It's not 6.5. Yeah. So I think three years for anything under 7, no, man.
3 to 5 years for like a 90%er is usually pretty good for Bigfoot.
Yeah.
I like those.
Yeah, I mean, it does have the smoke that's going to preserve it a little bit more, but yeah, it's not. I agree with you. I think I would drink this at 2 years old. I think it would probably be where it's really peaking instead of.
And the 14's kind of, it's falling apart.
The smoke's even falling off a lot. Yeah. Maybe you should have had that first, because now I'm like, where is the smoke on the 14?
Well, I think the smoke has kind of turned to ashy.
Yeah, more of the sweetness is gone.
It's like campfire ashy.
And you lose that sweetness, you lose that that balance that you need to make the smoke palatable.
It's like a little bit like the coffee boiling on the bottom of the burner, you know, just kind of.
Yeah. Ooh, like diner coffee.
Yeah.
Ooh.
A little bit of that. It gets more dinerish as it goes. Like the first one was a little, it's not like super fresh coffee kind of taste, but it's a little more.
But do you get that kind of metallic?
I like the balance a lot better. Mm-hmm. I got the metallic on the 14, yeah.
More on the nose than the flavor, but I do get the flavor somewhat too, but definitely the nose. I could see what you're saying there.
What would account for that? I assume it's
something from
some metallic thing, like the cap, I guess.
Cap
but
or something? I don't know.
But
it can't
be. It's coated, so.
Yeah, it's not. It wasn't like sideways or anything. It was stored at a basement temperature, not even in the fridge, which is whatever. Either way, we want to look at that. But, yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if it was like that initially. Metallic is. Yeah, a lot of the things that you talk about, flaws in metallic, are things that really likely wouldn't happen in a commercial brewery.
Like what?
It's like rust, brass fittings
that are worn off.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know.
I mean, they're going to have stainless.
I guess it can be an infection as well. Like that bloody sort of, that blood flavor, like the penny flavor, mm-hmm. too. And sometimes that's more like from water, like that's from your water
source.
That's what it tastes like, like a penny. Yeah, and it's from a water source, and again, like that's not something I would expect from a commercial brewery. And yeah, mm-hmm. look it up, Ryan. I've had a hard time with that one before. We've talked about that in judging classes, and a lot of the descriptors there are talking about weird things like water or like contact with metals that are, you know, not treated or not shouldn't be in contact with the beer. But that's not something I would expect from this.
Yeah.
Just be an age thing, and with the smoke somehow is playing a role there.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. It's but they're kind of very different, being just a year apart. I wouldn't expect that these were the same beer.
Yeah, it's a lot. The 2015 is a lot sweeter when you mm-hmm. taste them side by side. And for me, the 2015 I thought wasn't sweet enough. And
it's a lot sweeter than the, yeah. And I wonder if they make recipe adjustments on this? I mean, you know, besides the, you know, tweaks here and there based on
malt. I mean, everything's
malt.
An adjustment somewhat, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like the maltsters change. Maybe they don't get the same product they did before. Yeah. They, you know, whatever. Like they faced the previous year. Like they have to switch it up a little bit. So I would say they, you know, they probably don't announce those, but I think any beer, even like Celebration. Makes, you know, they're always adding
that
new,
will never
new,
change.
New
never say that.
To it. Nutmeg every. I'm kidding. So they probably do make some changes to it, just to sort of, you know, fix some things. They look like they're different. They do look different.
In terms of color. They kind of taste different. Yeah.
I wish I had a 16. I had a 17. I should have brought that as well. It would have been fun just to see where it was. But it being that it was a year off, it would have been kind of a little bit weird.
Yeah.
I did think the balance was a lot better to me than the Backwoods Bastard having a little age on it. So, metallic can come up a lot of different ways. Obviously from, you know, equipment that is, improperly maintained or like, you know, or chrome fittings have worn down to brass or something that you probably shouldn't even be using in your brewery. also from just metallic ions in your brewing water or, anything leached from metallic sources, like even the cans that you store your filter powders or any syrups they're using. But another thing that can happen is, and it's not really fully understood why, but metallic notes can also come up due to products of lipid oxidation as a beer ages. So through process, and it's not really understood why, but yeah, it can also promote the formation of other staling compounds. So yeah, I don't know. That's kind of weird, but I definitely get that metallic thing in the older one.
Yeah, it's super. Super there. Anyway, let's take a break real fast, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little more about what off flavor are we going to talk about today, Brian?
Metallic. How about how about higher alcohols?
Higher alcohols. You got it. All right, everyone, stay tuned. It's Dr. Homebrew. We'll be right back talking about higher alcohols in just a sec.
Hello, fellow BNers. This is Sully from the 21st Amendment Brewery located in San Francisco, just two blocks from Giants Park. Before Nico and I opened the 21A and before I was a professional brewer, I homebrewed on my small four-burner apartment stove in a back house in Santa Monica, California, making my extract brews before graduating to the daunting idea of all-grain brewing. Homebrew books and information was hard to come by back then. The internet hadn't been invented yet, along with other things we take for granted today, like electricity and potable water. One thing I wish I had back then when I was learning was a radio show that could teach me the ins and outs of brewing and answer questions that I had about homebrewing, a resource for making great craft beer. The 21st Amendment Brewery is excited to be a proud sponsor of Dr. Homebrew, a great show that teaches you what you need to know about making incredible beer. Good stuff. Listen up. You might learn something. I certainly did. And thanks for your support. Tasty Crack Game.
Now, back to the examination.
All right. Before we learn about higher alcohols, which are alcohols that can get you high, I imagine, you should know that GrogTag is your one-stop homebrew customization shop. They have it all from reusable beer and wine labels to durable metal signs to high-quality coasters, and everything is customizable. So get creative over on GrogTag.com with one of our hundreds of templates, and we'll print it on high-quality materials and ship it out to you. It's easy. Check out GrogTag.com today and use code BNARMY to save 10% on your next order over at GrogTag.com. All right there, okay. Bri, let's go.
So,
what do you think? Higher alcohols, let's go. Let's get hammered. Alcohols. Let's get wasted on higher alcohols.
Generally bad. You don't want them in your beer.
Okay, the end. All right, thank you. What is a higher alcohol?
So what?
It sounds great to me, but...
Ethanol is a pretty short-chain alcohol. It's a pretty simple formation of it, but as you get... longer chains of carbon with the alcohol kind of formation, you know, I'm not really a chemist. I don't even play one on TV.
That's too bad.
They start to have more kind of burning, harsh, hot, and, you know, sharper sensations. So they might actually have an initial kind of sweetness to them, but the aftertaste is always going to be harsh. It's just when you drink a beer and you get that in the finish, that's the higher alcohols coming through. You know, the concentration of beer varies a little bit. I think it's a pretty low threshold for being able to pick them up. You know, it's, usually 50 to 200 milligrams per liter is going to be, you're going to pick it up. they're produced by the yeast. It's something that the yeast kicks out, when it's distressed or if you get a wild yeast in there. And likewise, if you use a, you know, you're starting with a very high gravity wort, something that the yeast has to kind of fight to process.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're using a high fermentation temperature, the yeast is going to kind of go wild and kick out some different kinds of alcohols that you don't want rather than the intended one.
Can underpitching do that as well, do you think? Like, with, if, yeah. You know, if you have a really high, you know, a high gravity wort and you underpitched, but it stressed the yeast enough to produce some of these higher alcohols?
Yeah, I believe it's gonna kick out more as if the yeast is stressed, in other words, and just fighting to process what it needs to process, it's gonna have a harder time and just start kicking out other things besides just the intended alcohol that it's that it's pushing out when it's the happiest, you know. I like to make my yeast happy. I'm always talking about happy yeast.
Yeah, they make you happy. So
yeah, underpitching is definitely one of the causes. Sometimes it can be something like a mineral deficiency even, you know, if you don't have the right balance of minerals in your water to keep the yeast happy, micronutrients, just in general, poor yeast health. And also if you don't oxygenate a beer well enough, you know, if you just like, oh, I'm just going to pitch the yeast in there. I forgot to shake my carboy or push in some oxygen and it's a 1080 starting gravity, you know, you're going to have some problems. So, yeah, just to avoid and control them, you just want to keep proper fermentation temperature for your beer. You definitely want to, you know, not pitch as warm as, you know, if you pitch it too warm and oh, cool it down. You know, sometimes it can get kicked out early in the fermentation and not really go away. You want to have proper yeast health, correct pitching rates for the wort gravity and style. And there's so many good yeast calculators out there you can use to just dial it in right and, you know, put in the date on your packet of yeast and know exactly how much to grow it up in your starter to get the right amount. So, yeah.
Which is great technology. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I guess another thing you can do to avoid it, too, is you don't want to oxygenate your fermenting wort or your green beers. It's going to kick out some – the yeast will pull that in and kick out some weird stuff then, too. So just, keep the oxygen on the early side and, you know, just keep your fermentation healthy, basically, like we're always telling you people to do, and most of you actually do really well. So.
Yeah, and this is something that's really common with newer brewers, and especially in different parts of the country.
Like,
you know, where I'm moving to in Illinois, they're going to have a lot of, you know, warm summers there. And when you're in a warm summer, you know, that's another thing, you know, higher alcohol, first of all, that. Second of all, like, newer brewers tend to not pitch the right amount of yeast.
Yeah, it's like you're just like, okay, well, I ordered this recipe kit and it came with one pack of yeast and that's what I get.
That's all I should use. They gave me the right amount.
Like you said about nutrients and oxygenation and all that stuff as well. And people like to make big stuff like early on too. Like, hey, I'm going to make a double IPA right out of the gate. a double chocolate double IPA with rhubarb.
Yeah.
That sounds good, Mick.
Sounds pretty good. I'm going to make that.
All right, there you go. Do they grow rhubarb on the moon? Because that's where you're moving to. So,
man, there is a place called Moon, PA, and I may be able to move there.
Moon
right outside the airport of Pittsburgh.
Moon Pie.
All right.
Moon Pie.
Sounds good. Sounds great.
Sorry.
All right. Well, higher alcohols, man. That sounds gross. Now I don't like them. At first I was for them. Now I'm against them.
What are some of bad headaches or something that you get, bad hangover? I mean, anytime you drink too much of something, you're going to get a bad hangover anyway, but.
No, it definitely, you know, the cleaner the beer is, you'll notice you're drinking beer, a lot of beer sometimes from a clean brewery, and you'll have, you know, no problems. Then you drink that, you know, 40-ounce or, you know, Colt 45 or whatever the hell. It's disgusting, and then you feel like shit the next day. So, yeah.
But smooth.
All right, right. Or just, Mickey's malt liquor or something.
Yeah,
you know.
Just to be clear, that shit is
I've
smooth.
I've gotten worse hangovers from drinking cider.
Huh.
What can you tell me about that, Brian?
Don't drink cider.
Yeah, that's my answer as well.
That's your answer.
But no, I don't know. I don't know if it's like the, you know, the makeup of the, you know, the sugars that you're fermenting versus having, you know, malts and like that. But I mean, you know, with anything, like, yeah, you can't mix. I'm like, whatever. You just can't drink too much or you get a hangover. But
that's the thing, man. Yeah, I've never followed.
I still think
that.
Like cider. Stupid. Cider still is like it seems like it's worse than, you know, like, you know, than.
Yeah, you're sulfites? Are you a sulfite
kind of
person? Maybe
simpler sugar in there for the yeast to ferment, and it might just kind of get lazy and kick out some weird stuff as it's like just cruising through it. I mean, maybe I don't know. Maybe you want to ferment your ciders a little lower just to try to if you tried to, you know, ferment them just a little bit.
I think
lower.
It was all perfect temperature control, really. That was
fine.
The issue.
Yeah.
Okay. This is my sister who told me this too. By the way, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
Okay. I drank a bunch of my cider, and she was like, I had the worst hangover. I'm like, you just don't drink enough.
That's probably what it is.
I don't know. But I've experienced some pretty bad hangovers from cider, and it may just be that they're easy to consume when they're kind of dry. And you know.
Yeah.
That's probably more what it is.
And you kind of guess maybe the source of it. You know, it could be from a wild yeast if you also get something else alongside that, like a little spiciness or something, like a, you know,
like a spider sit down beside her, something like that.
And if it's just, just pure higher alcohols is probably just poor yeast management, you know.
In judging, how often do you come across higher alcohols? How common is it, do you guys, when you sit down to fill a sheet out?
It's gotten less common over the years, but it's
some of the Belgian styles. You get people that are like they love the Belgian style of beers and they want to brew them when they're pretty early on in brewing. Mm-hmm. And then
I did the same thing, man. Yeah. Really? Okay.
But not you know, it's still only like maybe 1 out of 10 beers, something like that.
Yeah.
But like normal beer, like hey, if you're judging, like hey, I'm gonna judge lagers and you're getting higher alcohols, then there's something else going on. You may be doing LSD while you're judging, but. I don't know. No, you don't really see a ton of it, I don't think, but it's really more style dependent, I think, than anything else.
Okay.
So I think it also has to do with the amino acids in your wort. So some advice I'm seeing here too says to avoid over modification during mashing so you don't get too many amino acids in the wort you're collecting.
Mm-hmm.
But they also will break down over time. So you know, like that the Backwoods Bastard, you know, that's gonna some of the bigger, boozier, higher alcohol warmth in that is gonna die down over the years and break down into simpler alcohols, and it is something that'll forgive it. But you know, if you get higher alcohols in your IPA, it's gonna be dead in 6 or 8 weeks anyway, so it's not gonna help you.
Right.
You know, if it's a beer you can set down and age, then that's, you just need to age it out.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Brian, well, thanks, man. If that's it for
higher alcohols, thank you.
Pretty easy topic to avoid. Pretty easy problem to avoid, right?
Sounds I find like? That, you know, yeah, a lot of people, it takes them a while to come to terms and figure out temperature control and that, you know, and actual good pitch rates. It is something that you just have to be told by other brewers, like, wow, you know, taste your beer. And it's like,
this is what this is.
I used to just ferment at room temperature when I first started brewing and pitch the one little smack pack. And back then, the smack packs were half the cell count that they are now.
Right.
And it was just like, that's what you got. That's what I got at the homebrew shop. And they gave me with the kit. So
I
make a double IPA. And this is what I did. And it's like, well, you know, it'd be better if you. So you know, it's something you come to late, but you should. You know, a newer brewer should probably come to it a little earlier. Now, I know a guy in our club that I don't think he's even brewed yet, but he's like thinking about all this stuff. And of course, he's like a chemist guy, you know. So mm-hmm. he's like, he's gonna brew, but he's gonna do it right when he does. And he, you know, he's retired, so he's kind of on a budget too. And
I think I talked to that guy
collecting all this stuff. Yeah, he's a pretty cool dude.
But, all right. Well, thank you, Brian. I appreciate that. Let's take a real fast break. I should have just merged these breaks together, but I didn't do it. So,
who wins the grog tag this week?
That's a good question. Maybe Keith.
Founders.
Oh, shit. hang on. We'll be right back on the other side of this break, folks. Just stay tuned.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, SantaClean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the five-star solution. Visit fivestarchemicals.com or call 800-782-7019, 800-782-7019, and get the five-star treatment today.
Are you a member of the White Labs Customer Club? If not, you should be. It's the easiest way to earn free stuff for turning in your old homebrew labels from either Vials or Pure Pitch. All you have to do is save your labels and redeem them for things like free yeast, an exclusive White Labs t-shirt or sweatshirt, and even the opportunity to brew with the yeast man himself, Chris White. Signing up is easy. Just go to whitelabs.com/customerclub, fill out the registration form, and then mail in your labels. They will return the favor by sending you awesome White Labs swag. Go sign up today at whitelabs.com/customerclub. White Labs, pure yeast and fermentation since 1995.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but we're going to have to pour you out.
Back to Dr. Homebrew.
Yeah. The city of Concord, everybody, is the perfect place to start or expand your craft beer business. Concord is centrally located in the Bay Area. It boasts strong craft beer loving demographics. The city's historic downtown is experiencing a boom with new businesses opening and new apartment developments in the pipeline. Concord's business and industrial parks are centrally located off major freeways and are perfect for large-scale brewery operations. The city's economic development team is ready to help you find a successful location to meet your business needs and help you through the permitting process. Give Brian Nunnally a call at 925-671-3018. He's ready to help you open up your business in Concord.
I will vouch for the, you know, there are a lot of good beer appreciators here. You just sit on the bar here at the Hop Grenade.
Where is Concord? I don't even know where it is, though.
It's in Tennessee.
I get on a train and I end up here. They changed the name of the train. Like, it used to go to Pittsburgh Bay Point. Now it's Antioch.
Antioch, yeah.
I'm like, what the hell? Like, where am I going? I'm like, my train's not here anymore.
Well, yeah, because they opened up an Air BART. This is how stupid the Bay Area is. We voted, apparently, at some point, to extend BART from Pittsburgh through to Antioch. Pittsburgh used to be the end of the station. Now it's Antioch. But to get from Pittsburgh to Antioch, you have to get off of the train that you're on and then get on one of those Air BART, like, diesel-powered trains to ride the extra 5 minutes. We didn't vote to bring BART that we currently have into Antioch. It's a big pain in the ass. You have to get off the fucking... Anyway, sorry. Well, before we leave, we are going to open a couple of beers real fast just because Keith's leaving, and we can. So what are we drinking here, Brian?
This is Precious Material, Helles Lager from Earth Rider Brewery in Duluth, Minnesota. So I got this from my brother when I was visiting mm-hmm. him and my mom in South Dakota.
Yeah.
We all kind of gathered there with my cousin Chad, and Jimmy and I drank a lot of beer and played some darts and pool, and we had this killer Airbnb in Deadwood. Mm-hmm. We had so much good beer there. It was awesome.
That sounds great.
I told him to bring a bunch of New Glarus beer, and they brought a bunch of this... The Earth Rider Brewery stuff.
It's not bad. It's a little sweet tart kind of thing. I mean, we're not going to do like commercial calibration kind of breakdown, but we're just going to chat about it real fast. I think look, I'd be happy if I came into here and this beer was on tap and I paid for it. I would be fine with it.
Pleasant Helles, yeah. That's not a beer that every brewery makes. So, you know.
But every brewery should. I shouldn't say that because
they would do them poorly.
Yeah.
It's a hard beer to make. It really is. I mean, there's the balance, and it can't be too bitter, and you don't mm-hmm. want it to be too sweet. But at the same time, you know, you need enough of that malt character, and you need, you know, I think you really need good malts, like good traditional, like, you know, Pilsner malt. You can't use just American malt and get away with it.
So. Just two-row Helles.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a simple beer, but challenging at the same time.
Yeah,
this is
agreed.
Good. This is good. I like this.
Yeah, the Tim Nelson from the Fitgers Brewery fame started this brewery as a they kind of sold that one, and it's so there's some new offshoots. Duluth is actually a really good beer city if you ever get out there. It's pretty fun
awesome.
To explore. There's
I only care about the tiki bar scene,
can't say
dude. Let's go.
Into any tiki bars, but you know they don't just make IPAs there. There's like there's the Bent Paddle. There's the, you know these guys make a lot of different styles. The Earth Rider guys and Bent Paddle makes. Browns and, you know, I mean, pale ales and IPAs, but a lot of other things, too. It's just a good blend and a good variety.
Awesome. Well, hey, man. Sounds good. What do you guys think of this beer, Keith?
I like it. I thought it was a little grainy as well.
It's got a little sulfur to it.
Yeah. I mean, those things are all appropriate. That's mm-hmm. all fine.
Yeah.
As it should, yeah.
I think, you know.
It's not bad. It's maybe a little chalky, a little minerally kind of thing.
I think a little longer lagering time would make it a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll probably come back and tell us it was lagered for 6 months or something like that. I love saying things like that.
And they have good water there, too. I mean, it's right on the tip of Lake Superior. So
I don't think it was. I mean, I can generally taste some of these things, and it tastes... Whenever I have lagers that people say they're lagered and they're not lagered, and I find out later that I was right and everybody else is wrong, that beer tastes sharp to me. And this beer kind of has that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not bad. I mean, it's not bad beer at all. Were you thumbing around with a bottle there too, Keith?
What I poured something that was really goofy and it's really warm right now, but it was a Guinness Antwerpen Stout. It was part of like a special release for release for St. Patrick's Day. They had like four beers in it. This one was 8% alcohol.
Wow.
It's kind of fun just to taste some of the beers they were making that were different. I think I'm getting some diacetyl in this.
Yeah, definitely.
Butterscotch for sure.
Maybe even a little green apple too. It's got like some little funk to it there. I mean, not funk, but
it's very creamy, almost like a milk stout.
And it may, yeah, I remember what the
or like a chocolate milkshake kind of thing.
Like in the nose, you almost smell. It smells like it's possibly going to be a little more tart than it is, but it's not really tart or anything. It's not.
I get a little tart. I get a little sour.
A lot of the bottled beers they have are like slightly sour.
Yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. I mean that's kind of what they're. Doing.
Yeah, it is. It's not like a sharp, biting roastiness. It's like this kind of rounded, like slightly.
It's like a sour milk stout.
It was like one of the first, not this beer, but like in general, like even the Guinness in bottles. I forget what the name of that one is specifically. It's not the export one's better, but it was like one of the first beers I had that, you know, that was actually good beer. It was like Sierra Nevada Pale Ale was the first, and then this was like they used to have it like a locals like. Whatever, a little deli right by where I was in college. And, you know, freshman, sophomore year, someone would grab me a bottle of Guinness like that. And I was like, oh, this is great. You know, like, it tastes like a milkshake then to me. And, you know, that sort of thing. And so this kind of reminds me of that a little bit, too. Although that beer still is available. So I could just drink that beer and remind myself of that and drink something different. But, yeah, definitely some diacetyl going on here.
Well, we were talking about water. And if you guys didn't know, the Smart Brew Water Testing Kit incorporates a revolutionary photometer system, which is the first and only one on the market with its own app. It's perfect for home or commercial use. It's the only meter on the market that runs water tests with no math needed on your part. You let the machine, the little computer, do it, everything for you. You can email the results of your water test to your brewers or post to your Facebook page and let the Homebrew Club get your lowdown on your base water profile. You have the ability to test for over 40 different water quality tests. Four come preloaded. And more are available, things like total alkalinity, chloride, calcium hardness, pH, sulfate, and more, with only 4 mils of water needed. Check out smartbrewkit.com, enter code TBN10 at checkout, and save $10 on either the standard or advanced Smart Brew testing kit. The iDip. It's perfect. I like
it. It's a cool toy.
They were NHC too, man. Their booth was slammed. I never got a chance to go over and say hi.
Oh, man, yeah, those guys are selling some. I saw the new... thing that they're, pushing out. They have a new pH meter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We went over and saw that, right?
Yeah.
Man,
right,
I missed
right
out.
Before we recorded one of the shows, you were busy setting stuff up over there.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, this Antwerpen style is like an 8% ABV. It's pretty beefy.
It doesn't taste like it, though.
But, yeah.
It's pretty mellow, man.
It just kind of comes through as a little sweetness in there.
Yeah. That's not bad. All right. Well, hey, let's get out of here. What do you think?
Okay.
Well, Keith, one show down, one more show left.
Wow, this is getting sad now.
This is really happening. We're gonna pour him into his BART train.
And I'll be in Missouri if anybody's looking for me.
Missouri, on my way to the center of the earth to live with the mole people.
Learn how to say it right, though. It's Missouri.
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 All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in to Dr. Homebrew, and until next time, we will see you later. Well, most of us will. Keith might not.
Keep pouring beers.